Welcome to the Kirtner
and Kerr
radio show. Hey, where's the unison?
There you go, Thomas. Well, we've been under the weather, as they say, enjoying the long weekend along with Silver Biotic and battling all the seasonal colds and flu that are going around. But can you hear me now, TC?
Yes, I can hear you. I think we're up to snuff now.
Good, good. But thrilled to be here. Thrilled to be on the other side of Thanksgiving and got to see family that's out of town. And we're getting our studio things fixed up here, if you can hear us now.
Yeah, it's kind of like the dresser, except we're being mic'd.
There you go. But we do have a guest today, TC, and can you give us a little background?
I think I'm going to have him do that for us. David Eels, are you with us? I don't hear him. He may be speaking, but I don't hear him.
He's there.
Can you hear him?
I can't hear him.
Okay. Well, he's with Unleavened Bread Ministries. He's the founder, I believe. And they have very many interesting prophecy things on their website. And I would like him to give our listeners a rundown on, you know, the background of Unleavened Bread. And
what is his website, TC?
It would be, for our listeners, it would be, you can go directly to UBM1, that's UBM. And the numeral 1.org.
Kind of like Unleavened Bread Ministry 1.
Mm-hmm. .org. But I've read a lot of the material, and I think it's very appropriate to our show. They definitely believe that we're approaching or at the very beginning of the end times, and that Revelation is pertinent to today. And I think that that's kind of our driving force. We're a forum for the watchman, and I would consider Brother David a watchman. I'm not sure all watchmen agree on every last detail of things, but I don't think that's what's important. It's the blood of Yeshua. That's what's important. And that people are being obedient to the Spirit and trying to warn listeners, you know, our listeners and those who will listen, of the things that are soon to come upon us. David, are you with us now? I don't know if we have a technical difficulty or what.
I don't know what the problem is. Okay.
So if I dial him on my phone?
No.
To keep from having
silence
here.
Which is a no-no on the radio. We can't do that.
I was going to give a little more background on the Unleavened Bread Ministry website here, if you can go to it.
David, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
All right. We have technical prowess.
Did you hear any of our introduction, David?
Not a bit.
Okay. Well, it wasn't a lot.
That's okay. I'm here.
So you're here to defend yourself. Well,
yeah.
We gave out your website. And we mentioned, you know, the UBM1.org, which kind of stands for Unleavened Bread Ministry 1.org. And you've got some very provocative questions just right there at the beginning.
On your main page.
On the main page.
But I wanted you to kind of step in and give the listeners a background. You're kind of local to the area. A lot of the guests we've had have not been necessarily from around here. I mean, really from all over the country. So if you'd like to take, you know, a couple of minutes or a few minutes and let listeners know about yourself.
Okay, well, I've been in the ministry for almost 40 years, and I guess my gift to the body is scripture. I stick with the scripture a lot, and the Lord has blessed me from the time I was about 1 year old in the Lord with word of knowledge and word of wisdom and dreams and things. And the Lord chose me to reveal what many times are hidden revelations to the body. And can't say, you know, I can't do any of it without the Lord, obviously. He's my gift, you know. But, yes, we are close to you, just a few miles south of you, I think. And as you say, our body is Unleavened Bread Ministries. That's our ministry. And I think you've posted on your site an article that I thought I would probably compliment here today, something that's not necessarily on that article, but would help people to understand their relationship as Christians to a worldly nation.
Mm-hmm.
And I dare say most people believe that, I say a lot of Christians believe that America is God's chosen country. And, of course, I love my country, and I pray for it constantly. But the relationship that many Christians have to America is just dead wrong, and it enables them to be deceived into doing things that are just not biblical.
Mm-hmm.
And today I hope to share something that may help a little with a little balance here about America. Don't know if I should go ahead or not.
No, that sounds good, and we'll identify ourselves so you can get to know our voices. This is Thomas.
And this is CK.
And, no, that's very appropriate. I think that's what we've been trying to do, is be a forum for the Watchmen, and the Watchmen are not, they're certainly not parroting the news, you know, and they're certainly not parroting the pulpit. The Watchmen are saying something entirely different. They're saying, you know, they're giving warning. And, no, it's very appropriate for you to do this, so please continue as the Spirit leads.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is something that's really on my heart. One reason I did put it on the front of our site is because I believe the Lord has shown me that there's about to be a great rebellion in this country of the right wing and or Christians against this country, and they don't understand that God may not be with them in this.
Mm-hmm.
And a great loss of life is about to happen. This I know because the Lord has spoken it to me, and he's told me the root problem is this relationship that Christians in this country have to this country, and not really understanding the difference between this country and the kingdom of God,
mm-hmm.
not really drawing the lines correctly. I was hoping to help my brethren out there understand where to draw these lines.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let me just point out something to you, that Christians are very, in this country, are very patriotic,
mm-hmm.
and people in other countries are also very patriotic for their nation. And there really isn't anything that's caused more wars than patriotism.
Correct.
And except for possibly religion.
Exactly.
Sad to say.
Okay.
So the two have been the cause of much life on planet, caused the death of much life on planet Earth here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to share a few things with you that would, like I said, complement that article there.
Well, that's true.
I might start in 1 Peter chapter 2.
Okay.
And maybe verse 6. It says, because it is contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious. And he that believeth on him shall not be put to shame. For you, therefore, that believe is the preciousness. But for such as disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, the same was made the head of the corner. And I might add, folks, that this wasn't just written to the Jews. This was written to the Christians, too. You know, the real Jesus Christ and the real Word of God has been rejected by the majority of Christianity. To them, Jesus is the stone which the builders rejected. And, you know, he was made the head of the corner. and he was made a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense.
Mm-hmm.
For they stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Well, the word we're to speak, every man that speaks is to speak as an oracle of God, according to Paul. And what we say should be in agreement with the word of God. We're warned in the last four verses of the book, don't add to it or take away from it under penalty of a curse. So we have to be very careful, because there's a great stumbling about to happen, and it's going to be stumbling over the word, or should I say the absence and the ignorance thereof.
Mm-hmm.
He says, for they stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto they were appointed. But you are an elect race, can be also translated elect or electos, means chosen,
mm-hmm.
and race here, genos, is also generation. A chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Now, that's something we need to pay attention to here, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may show forth the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light.
Mm-hmm.
We're a holy nation. All Christians are a holy nation. And, you know, we're told in Romans chapter 11, say, 25 and 26, that God joined the believing Christians with the believing Jews in Jesus' day into an olive tree, grafted us into that olive tree, which he called all Israel.
Mm-hmm.
We are now a part of New Testament spiritual Israel.
Correct.
He says in Ephesians 2, 14 through 16, he broke down the middle wall of partition, and he made of the two one new man. And so we're joined together in a rebirth of Jesus Christ. And we are one holy nation. This nation has nothing to do with the physical nation that you dwell in.
Well, that's true.
It only represents a spiritual nation in the New Testament, which, by the way, has nothing to do with national boundaries, races, et cetera, et cetera.
David?
In other words, the Gentile. Go ahead.
Yeah, this started with the temptation of Christ in the wilderness. I mean, it should be clear to the believer that all the kingdoms of the world were Satan's to give to Jesus if he'd bow down and worship him. So that means, you know, these are not holy kingdoms here. These are not godly nations, no matter how much we want them to be. We're the godly part. His body is the godly part of any nation. So go ahead.
Well, amen. We're one nation worldwide. We're joined together through the blood of Jesus Christ, Jews and Gentiles, all born from above. And that's what makes us one.
Absolutely.
And, you know, the Lord is calling us, according to John 18 and 36, where they asked Jesus, you know, was he the king of the Jews? And he gave them a surprising answer, I would say, even for a lot of people today, and they're thinking, he answered, my kingdom is not of this world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered unto the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Now, if he can say that about Israel, that his kingdom is not of this world, we certainly have to say the same about America.
Definitely.
Our kingdom is not of this world. We do not belong to America. We don't even pledge allegiance to America. Our allegiance is to the Lord, and even when the Lord tells us to obey the kingdoms of this world, we're still obeying him by obeying them, but we're submitting to him. That's our calling. He's drawn us to do this. And so when he says his kingdom is not of this world, he was talking about, obviously, Israel was not the kingdom he was speaking about. And, you know, some proof to that, I would say, is in 2 Corinthians 5 and 16, where he says, wherefore, we henceforth know no man after the flesh. Even though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now we know him so no more. We don't know Christians by an outward race, a nationality. Our brothers and sisters, the members of our nation, are worldwide. The Lord already has a one world order. It's just that the beast is going to make war on the saints. That's the world's one world order is going to make war on God's one world order.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There is only two one world orders here, mm-hmm. according to what he says in Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Lord also told us in Luke 17 and 20, he says, "And being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God cometh, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation." Well, you can see natural Israel. You can see America. But that's not the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes on to tell them, "Neither shall they say, lo here or there, for lo, the kingdom of God is within you," or a better translation would say, "in the midst of you."
Mm-hmm.
The kingdom of God is in the midst of you. The kingdom of God is where God rules, personally. Now, we know that God rules over principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in this whole world. But he doesn't rule personally. He rules through other beings and through other people, et cetera, et cetera. But individually, we are to be under God's rulership personally. In other words, God has vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor, as the Scriptures teaches us very plainly, for instance, in Romans 9, and he rules over them all. As a matter of fact, he works in them to will and to do of his good pleasure. And, you know, history always repeats because there's only one sovereign ruler behind everything. The devil has no sovereignty.
Mm-hmm.
He has to have permission. His kingdom has to have permission to do what he does.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord is sovereign, and he uses vessels for dishonor, and he uses vessels of honor. And we all pray that we would all be vessels of honor, being ruled personally by the Lord himself.
Amen.
However, it's not so, because a lot of people do pledge allegiance to a nation, not really understanding the line between the kingdom and the world.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we all desire, I don't argue with anybody out there, we all desire for the people of this nation to be saved. We all desire for the people of this nation to be ruled well. But if you notice the Great Commission, Jesus left out a lot of things that had to do with what a lot of Christians do to fight their spiritual warfare. He basically wanted us to go out and preach the gospel. That's our job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people think they're going to change the world through politics, and they're proving themselves wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And, that not only that, they think they know who God wants to put in government, and they're proving themselves wrong. Because according to Romans 13, there's nobody that gets in there without God's permission.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes he chooses vessels of dishonor over people rather than vessels of honor. Christians say, well, God wouldn't do that. Well, history says that you're wrong if you believe that. Because God does raise up evil leadership over a people when they're in rebellion against God.
Mm-hmm.
He uses evil leadership to bring them into trouble, to persecute them, to bring them to their cross. You know, we know that God raised up many beast kingdoms in the Scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
We also know that the major ones, like Egypt and Assyria and Babylon and Media-Persia and Greece and Rome.
Mm-hmm.
He raised these kingdoms up. He took credit for doing it in the Scriptures. He bragged about doing it in the Scriptures for the purpose of chastening a rebellious people of God. He used them basically to bring his people to their cross, to mm-hmm. humble them, to mm-hmm. crucify them. This was his plan. Well, you know, up until the time of Rome, the Lord was doing this with his Old Testament people of God. He when they rebelled, when they got self-willed, he raised up a beast kingdom that was much bigger than them, more powerful than them, and he brought this kingdom upon them until they cried out to God in humility.
Mm-hmm.
All of those beast kingdoms ruled over God, over God's people. All of those beast kingdoms did.
Mm-hmm.
God was in control, but he used these vessels of honor to humble his rebellious people. Now, you haven't read the scripture much if you don't know that God's people as a whole are in rebellion against God.
And have been throughout, historically, have been, yes.
Yes.
Of course, I was beginning to wonder, David, if this is when you should start ducking because the Sadducees and Pharisees are going to throw a bunch of rocks. I can hear them pelting the window outside here.
Yes.
Yeah.
True. And, you know, when history repeats over and over and over, which it does all the way through the scriptures, and the Bible says that things that have been are the things that shall be, the things that have been done are the things that shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun. It lets you know that there's only one mind in control, in ultimate control. If there was one loose cannon, history would not repeat.
Correct.
But the truth is, God's in control of the vessels of honor and the vessels of dishonor, and he says so. He works all things after the counsel of his own will, and no one restrains his hand or even says unto him, "What are you doing?" That's what Daniel said, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, if he works all things, a man can receive nothing except it come from heaven,
amen,
the Lord says. Amen. Ultimately, yes, there are vessels of dishonor, but over and above them, working through them, and behind them, you ought to be able to look back. If all you see is the vessel of dishonor, you're going to make a lot of mistakes. Mm-hmm. If you look back there and see God in ultimate, absolute, sovereign control, then you only have to please him and you know it. Now, I think a lot of people are going to make mistakes. We know that the beast is going to make war on the saints. We know that according to Matthew 24 and verse 9, it says, "Then shall they deliver you up unto tribulation and shall kill you and shall be hated, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake."
Mm-hmm.
All nations just means all nations.
Yes.
What does all leave out? Is America left out of there? Well, absolutely not.
Yeah.
I would like to share with you that what we call, I'm just going to put it this way. I'm going to try to be subtle for you. God is in absolute control of America. And whoever goes in there, the Lord told me that Obama was going in there.
Mm-hmm,
and I told people, the Lord told me Obama was going in there.
Mm-hmm.
I know that was a great disappointment to people, and a lot of Christians would say, "Oh, no, God wouldn't do that." They said the same thing when Clinton went in there, and I said the same thing. Clinton was going in there because the Lord told me so.
Mm-hmm.
So they said, "Oh, no, God wouldn't do that." I said, "Watch and see."
Mm-hmm.
You know, why?
David, I think they're already talking about getting a third term for Mr. Obama.
Well, he's not going to make a third term, but in fact, I think they're going to fire him probably about halfway through this one. But the guy that's following him is worse. So if you think you want to get rid of Obama and get somebody better, forget it. We know what the book of Revelation tells us is going to happen. We know what the Bible tells us is going to happen with America. I'd like to point out just a few things concerning this. I think I will start in, 1 John 4. I'm going to start in 1 John 4.
1 John 4.
And 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but prove the spirits whether they are of God,
mm-hmm.
because many false prophets are going out into the world. So here we are, we're trying to discern who's a false prophet and who isn't, right? That's what he's talking about here, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And hereby know ye the Spirit of God. So we're talking about the Spirit of God in men. Okay, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Now, it doesn't say has come in the original. It says is come, present tense. He's telling us when a person's spirit confesses that Jesus Christ is in them, that's the Spirit of God. And he goes on to say, and every spirit that confesses not Jesus is not of God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. Now, he's not saying flesh confessing here. He's talking about spirit confessing here. When a person's spirit confesses to you that Jesus is in there, that's good. That's the spirit of God.
Mm-hmm.
But if their spirit does not confess that Jesus Christ is in them, the Jesus Christ, the one of the Bible, not the Jesus that man creates after their own image, right? Which there's many Jesuses out there, like Paul said, you know. Another Jesus, another gospel, another spirit. Lots of Jesuses out there, but there's only really one Jesus, and that's the one we're talking about, you know. If a person's spirit confesses that Jesus Christ is in there, the real Jesus Christ is in there, that's the Spirit of God. But if it doesn't confess, that's not the Spirit of God, that's the spirit of Antichrist. So you got Christ and Antichrist. See, here's where we need to draw the lines. It's not between America and her enemies, you know, because that's not necessarily our enemies, okay? We're not calling the kingdom of God America, are we?
No.
We're calling the kingdom of God wheresoever there are saints in any nation who have separated themselves from the world and come into the kingdom through the new birth and through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's who we're calling Christ, the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also a body of Antichrist. I'd like you to look at this verse very carefully. It's not saying that there's an individual called the Antichrist. In fact, it never says that in the Bible at all. But what he is talking about here is a body called the Antichrist.
Mm-hmm.
Notice what he says. And every spirit that confesses not Jesus is not of God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, whereof we have heard that it cometh, and now it's in the world already. And, of course, he just got through saying pretty much the same thing in chapter 2 and verse 18, little children, it's the last hour. And as you've heard, Antichrist cometh, and even now have there arisen many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last hour.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a body of Christ, and there is a body of Antichrist. That's the difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the world. Everybody that's not born of God and having the spirit of Christ in them is the spirit of the Antichrist. It's also the beast in the scriptures.
Tares.
Okay.
Tares, like the wheat field parable.
Tares, yeah.
Yeah. So there's wheat and tares, and that's it.
Absolutely. And that's where we need to be drawing our lines here, if we're going to have any lines. Nationalism and patriotism is drawing the lines wrong for Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're to know no man after the flesh, the Bible tells us. That means we're not to know him by his race, by his nation, by his geography. We're not to know him by anything like that, because our brotherhood is one nation that covers the globe,
mm-hmm.
and it's many different races and on and on.
You'd think
so,
they would love us, David. David, you'd think they would love us. We're more one world than they are. I mean,
that's true. Well, we have our one world order, and it works much better than theirs.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there's a war between these two. If you draw the line correctly. Now, whose side are you on? If you're on America's side, you're going to find out you're on the wrong side. I'm not saying that I don't love America and I don't pray for America and I don't want Americans to be saved. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not pledging allegiance to America, because let me tell you, America is going to persecute the saints.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to be hated of all nations for his namesake. And why is that? So that his name would be manifested in you, saints, you're going to be persecuted, and you're going to be hated by all nations, okay? So look at the lines here in this text now. You are of God, my little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. That's only two, he that's in you and he that's in the world. Do you remember what Jesus said in Matthew 24? That there's only two men in the earth? He meant that really truly. I mean, he meant that. There's only two men in the earth. One will be taken and one will be left. And they are Christ and Antichrist.
I never got that before. That's good. Yeah, I see that now. You're right.
So these are the two bodies in the earth. Our kingdom represents these people that are spread throughout the globe. These are our brotherhood, okay? Not that every one of those people doesn't pray for their nation, but the kind of patriotism that many Christians express is very destructive. And they're about to find out that they're going to be severely disappointed, because all of the kingdoms of this world are going to be a part of this one world order, and they're going to be anti-Christ. Okay, that's the plan. It's not just the world or the devil's plan. You can't stop this plan. This plan has already happened and repeated over and over and over through the scriptures, and it's God's plan.
Hey, David.
People think they can stop this.
David, I'd kind of like to reset. This is CK here, and we got David Ills with the Unleavened Bread Ministry. UBM1.org.
UBM.
UBM.org.
One.org.
And David, it's kind of just kind of shocking or intriguing or interesting. You know, we've been doing our radio show for a number of months now, and everyone we speak to talks that we're at the edge of civil war, which, you know, I thought the only war was in the lines on Black Friday to get the new flat screen TV. But, you know, I just get this recurring theme, and you say it too. How do you think something like that could happen in the land of the free, the home of the brave, the greatest nation in the world, and all these things we hear? I mean, how could we come apart? How could we be at each other's throats?
Well, because they're planning on cutting you and I, Christians, out of the pie. They know who we are. They know what offends us. They know what pushes our buttons. And they're going to, in effect, weed out Christianity. They've been called, just like in Jesus' day, if history always repeats, and we know it does, there was a body of Christ there. There was a Roman beast there called the Roman government. There was a harlot there. There was a false prophet there. It was apostate Judaism was the harlot, and there was a false prophet there. It was called the Sanhedrin. Now, we got the false prophets out there in church pulpits all over the place. And they're speaking lies mm-hmm. about our Lord mm-hmm. and about his kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord is bringing a crucifixion to Christianity because of this mass rebellion. You see, he loves his people, even though many of them have totally gone astray, and they don't even know it. They've been led astray by their leaders and by their lusts. And the Lord is going to bring about a great revival in the midst of a great persecution and tribulation. It's his plan. Raising up this beast is not the devil's plan. This is God's plan. Go back and read it. The Lord raised up a major beast in Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Media Persia, Greece, Rome, and he did that for the purpose of bringing his people to their cross and humbling them and crucifying that stinking flesh and that stinking thinking. And he's bringing his people to holiness and maturity through this. It can't be stopped. It's God's plan. Okay? Just read the book. You'll find out. He confesses that he's the one behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the only difference between what he did in the Old Testament and what he's doing in the New Testament is this time we're talking about a world order, not just a little Middle Eastern nation. But how many of you know that all around the world, all the way around the globe, people have been grafted into his olive tree? It's now a one world order
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
of believers from all nations.
Praise God.
So what do you know? In Jesus' time, all he needed was a local beast government to crucify the local Jewish establishment and bring them to him. Now we're not talking about that. a Jew in the New Testament is somebody who is circumcised in heart and born from above. That's a spiritual Jew in the New Testament. That's what the Bible says. So if you've got a worldwide people that you need to bring to a cross, guess what? You need a worldwide beast to bring them there. So this is what the Lord is doing with the one world beast. Matter of fact, if you just go and look in Revelation 17, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about there. This is God's plan. It's not the devil's plan, and you can't stop it. And people are going to take up arms to try to stop it because they have their rights, they think.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, dead men don't have rights. We don't have any rights that the Lord himself doesn't give us.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, he tells us to love our enemies and turn the other cheek and resist not him that's evil and do good to them that despitefully use you and on and on and on. And all of these things basically will bring you to the cross if you obey them. They'll bring you to the cross. Now, Jesus didn't fight to keep from going to his cross. It was ordained of God, according to Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 4. And I dare say Christians don't understand that Jesus died on the cross in order that we could go to our cross.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's not so that you wouldn't have to go to your cross. It's so that you could go to your cross. You could deny yourself. You could take up your cross and follow Jesus. He made it possible. Okay? So he did die a physical death in order that we could die a spiritual death, a death to self.
Mm-hmm.
He made it possible. So we look towards that. Now, if you look at this beast kingdom that he's raising up here, it has seven heads and ten horns. Let me see where I should start reading here. Okay, I guess I will start maybe in verse 7. An angel said unto me, wherefore thus didst thou wonder? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and the ten horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not and is about to come up out of the abyss and to go into perdition. Now, let me say this. The beast is the antithesis of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Antichrist is the antithesis of Christ. We have a head from heaven. We have a spirit born from above. They, by the way, have a head from hell, and they're born from beneath, Jesus said. You are from below, he said, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so here's the thing. Where does the spirit come that is in the beast? It comes from the pit. Okay, the body is not from the pit. The spirit is from the pit. Where does the Christian come from? His spirit. It comes out of heaven, born from above. You see? So this is the antithesis. They are from beneath and we are from above, as Jesus said. Okay? So this beast does, the spirit of this beast comes out of the pit, comes out of the abyss. And what does it inhabit? A body on the earth. And what does our spirit from heaven inhabit? A body on the earth. These are the two bodies that we're talking about. And here in verse 8 it says, and the beast that thou sawest was and is not and is about to come up out of the abyss. Well, let me tell you about the seven heads, okay? Egypt and Assyria and Babylon and Media Persia and Greece and Rome. And by the way, in Daniel's vision, Rome didn't stop back there in Jesus' day. The legs went right on down to the iron and clay in the toes, which are the ten kings in our time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so you see, there is a revival of this Roman Empire that was smitten, that one head that was smitten unto death in that day, and is being revived in our day. Okay? So those seven heads are still with us. Did you know what Daniel said about? He didn't start in Egypt. He started two later, but he's talking about the same group. But he said that their lives would be prolonged. They would lose their dominion, but their lives would be prolonged.
Mm-hmm.
So each one of those kingdoms, those beast kingdoms, lost their dominion to a succeeding kingdom. But he said their lives would be prolonged. Now he's getting ready to tell you how they're prolonged. Where is the seed of all of those kingdoms today? All of those kingdoms that brought Israel under the thumb are now coming together to bring not only Israel under the thumb, but the church under the thumb. And let me tell you who's behind it. The same one that was behind it every individual time. And history is only repeating. If you'll look very carefully in the scriptures, you'll see that God is repeating history. But every time he repeats history, he repeats it on a larger scale with more people. Every time it repeats. So this is a repetition of history. He's bringing back all of those seven heads to be in a corporate eighth head. I'll just explain it to you. Look, he says, is about to come up out of the abyss and go into perdition or destruction, right? And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, they whose name hath not been written in the book of the life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast, how that he was and is not and shall come. Well, each one of those beasts was and is not and shall be present or shall come. Okay, each one of them. And here is the mind that hath wisdom. He's going to give us the understanding of the parable, right? The seven heads are seven mountains, which are kingdoms in the scriptures, on which the woman sitteth. Well, the woman, by the way, is called Babylon. And let me say this to you folks. You may not like this, but Babylon's symbol in the scriptures and in history was the eagle. And guess who the eagle was conquered by? The bear. The Babylonish eagle was conquered by the Medo-Persian bear. And those same symbols, folks, if you go back, if history always repeats, then all you have to do to go back is go back and look at history to find out what's going to happen in our day. Because history always repeats. The first time it doesn't repeat, the Bible's wrong. Ecclesiastes 1:9, go and read it. The first time history doesn't repeat. It doesn't always repeat in a natural way. It can repeat in a spiritual way. The first time a prophecy is fulfilled, it is in a natural way. The second time, quite often, is in a spiritual way. But it gets larger and larger and larger every time it repeats. So he says here, the seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth, and they are seven kings, five are fallen. Okay, that was at that time that this was spoken, Egypt and Assyria and Babylon and Media, Persia and Greece. Five are fallen. The one is, and that was Rome at this particular time, and the other is not yet come, and that is, by the way, the dragon kingdom, Revelation 12, it is coming. It also has seven heads and ten horns. It's a prelude to the beast of Revelation 13, which is seven heads and ten horns, right? And the other's not yet come, and that's the dragon. And when he cometh, he must continue a little while. Little is like 3.5 years, according to how many days he told us there in Revelation 12, right? And the beast that was and is not, okay, that which one? Each one of those was and is not, is himself also an eighth. And that, of course, is the beast kingdom. You got a revived Roman Empire. It's all going to be incorporated. All seven heads are going to be incorporated in the eighth head. And it's of the seven. Which one of the seven? All of them. All of them. It's of the seven. The eighth head is made up of the seven. Okay? And he goeth into perdition. Okay, so here's the beast. Here is the Antichrist. It's every lost person on earth, and even every lost Christian on earth, because many people call themselves Christians, but that don't mean that they are.
Correct.
We know what Christian is. Okay, so this is what God is raising up right here, folks, to bring the Christians and even this harlot. You know, this harlot is riding on the back of that beast right now. Where is all seven heads and all ten horns? In the UN right now. It's a one world order right now. It don't have teeth yet, but they're getting ready to give it teeth. Okay? But they're all there, all seven heads, and their seed throughout it. Remember, he said that their dominion would be taken away, but their lives would be prolonged. That's what Daniel said about the beasts, the beasts being these beast kingdoms. Okay, their lives were prolonged all the way down to us. And now they're a great host that covers the earth. Now, all seven of these heads are ultimately going to be in eighth head. At first, they're going to be in the seventh head, but then they're going to be in eighth head. All of these together make up the world, which is them and not us. It is the two people that are mentioned there in 1 John, Christ and Antichrist. And these people are being raised up by God Almighty to bring his rebellious people to their cross and to scripturalness and to unity and to revival. Do you know that the Lord said that we would be one flock and one shepherd?
Mm-hmm.
Has that ever actually happened?
Not yet.
Well, in a small way in Jesus' time, but in a much bigger way in our time, because from the time of Jesus to us, there was a great falling away.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anybody can deny the Dark Ages and what happened, you know. Mm-hmm. But we've had some reformers along the way, and some greater reformers than them are coming on the scene right now. So the Lord is about to restore his kingdom. He's going to raise up his kingdom. And guess who's going to make war on that kingdom? This beast. Listen, it only took one angel to take the devil and throw him in the lake of fire.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, it only took one angel. One angel. Couldn't God have done that back in the beginning? Well, of course he could have. He didn't plan on that. That wasn't his plan. The devil has a job to do. He's leading an army that is the only people that can put you on the cross. Jesus Christ couldn't put himself on the cross. Somebody had to nail him there,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
We need help with this. We tend to shy away from crosses.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
God is going to send us some help with this. And I'm telling you, you can make it easy on yourself, saints, or you can make it hard on yourself. Learn to submit now and not stumble over the stone of stumbling and the rock of offense by being disobedient to his word.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're disobedient to his word, you're under the curse.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're obedient to it, you're not under the curse. God does what he has to do to bring fruit in your life. That's his plan, okay? Don't get mixed up with who America is. America is not a Christian nation. In fact, there is no Christian nation except one in all of the earth, and it's the one Peter talked about, that one holy nation. That's the only Christian nation on the face of the earth. None of the rest of them are Christian nations. And they're going to take away your, what you call your rights, Christians. They're going to take away your rights. And they're going to take ground that you thought you had concerning things like, abortion individual rights
freedom of speech, gun ownership, all of it. Yeah.
Yep. It's all that's going down the drain. And you know what you're going to be tempted to do? Take up your gun and go take this nation back. Well, first of all, you never had it in the first place. You can't take it back if you never had it in the first place.
No.
It's never been. I know Christians have their own history that they have written, but the truth is the truth. This country has never been a Christian nation, because I don't know if any of y'all ever know John Alexander Dowie, who made the city of Zion. You know how long the city of Zion lasted? Well, it only lasted as long as children were born. That's about how long it lasted. It was a city that was made up of Christians. They thought, well, it's going to be all Christians, and we're going to submit to the word of God, and we're going to see signs and wonders and miracles, and they did all that. It just didn't last very long because children were born.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, America's that way too, folks. It's never really been a Christian nation, and there is only one Christian nation. And that is God's people around the world, regardless of race or creed or nationality or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
This beast is being raised up just like he said he raised up the former individual beast. Now he's raising up a corporate beast to come against a corporate body of Christ. Not a little individual nation, a corporate body of Christ. That's why he's raising up this beast. This is God's plan. It is not the devil's plan. He's not that smart, okay?
Yeah.
But it is God's plan. What you have to do is see this thing from a heavenly perspective. Listen, America is the eagle in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And it is following lockstep in the footsteps of Babylon. If you go, for instance, if you look, for instance, in the Middle East, look at the nations that America, through its CIA, is overthrowing. Now, first of all, I want to tell you something about the stupidity of this. The Muslims, in a very large extent, the Arabs, in a very large extent, cannot have peace between one another, much less anybody else. They cannot have peace. It's in their makeup.
Right,
it's what
tribal.
God said about it's what God said about them from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's in their makeup. What they really need to have peace is what they had, which is a bloodthirsty dictator saying, "No, you will not do this, or I'll kill you." Okay, so they had peace under these bloodthirsty dictators, and that's the only way they ever had peace. Now, if you give them democracy, the first thing you're going to see is war. Okay? Now, so the CIA is going over there and overthrowing these nations and bringing in radical Muslims and, by the way, overthrowing nations, many of which were at some form of peace with the United States. Now, none of them are going to be at peace with the United States or Israel. Okay? But one thing they will have, because now they've been given democracy, which doesn't work for them whatsoever, is they will fight it out until they kill each other. Okay, you want to see that story? It's in Jeremiah 25. Read it. Babylon, the great eagle, was given authority by God to bring all the nations of the Middle East, for instance, the same ones that are overthrowing their leadership now, are the ones mentioned in Jeremiah 25. And he said, I will send, in verse 9, he said, I will send unto Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant. Why was he calling him his servant?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, why would God call America his servant? Except to bring you to your cross.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what he means. Listen, he said, the king of Babylon, my servant, and I will bring them against this land and against the inhabitants thereof and against all these nations round about. And I will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment and a hissing and a perpetual desolations. And by the way, one of those is Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 11 says, and this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a word of knowledge one time, and the Lord told me that when you relate this in the New Testament, it's going to be 7 years. It's not going to be 70 years. And he goes on to say, and it shall come to pass when 70 years are accomplished that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity. So God is going to use America to bring a great cross upon this world and great trouble in this world, so much so that the whole world is going to be angry with them, according to verse 15 and 16. The whole world is going to ultimately be angry with America.
Mm-hmm.
And
hey,
this
David,
great eagle, yes, sir.
We're kind of against the top of the hour, and I can't imagine anyone would be upset with America. We're all over the world bringing peace and prosperity
democracy,
but
yeah.
But we would in the last couple of minutes would like for you to kind of give an altar call because the times are short, and we kind of do that on our show. We kind of look at the gloom and doom, but then we also like to put out an offer of the great hope that we have in our Savior. So if you would lead us in a prayer,
amen.
That would be great.
Well, that would be great. Well, Father, we thank you for your awesome plan. It's worked in the past. It'll work now. A great revival is coming because of this misery that's coming upon the earth. You're going to draw many multitudes of people out of all nations. You're going to have many Arabs that are going to become Christian, multitudes of them.
Hallelujah.
Multitudes of Christians from around the world are going to be coming into your kingdom because of this great persecution and because of the great signs and wonders that you're going to raise up in the midst of this persecution. And, Lord, we're giving thanks unto you, Lord. It's your plan, Lord. No, Lord, we're not going to pledge allegiance to America. We pledge allegiance to you by your grace. It isn't even by our works. We can't say we can turn one hair of our head white or black, Lord, but we will serve you by your grace. And we're thanking you, Lord, that as these nations fall, that out of them will come a great multitude of people who will understand that you are the King and the Savior. Oh, praise be to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you.
Amen.
Praise you.
Well, thank you, David. It's been, I think we kind of need to do this again because I didn't even get to any of our questions. We set you loose and you took off, and that's what we wanted. And
that's a good thing.
That's what happens when you set me loose.
I tried to steer you another direction, but you were on point, so you were led, and I think our listeners are further down the path of where we need to go, and of course Thomas and I aren't looking too forward to the cross, but
I don't know. Sometimes it sounds better than what I
see around me. But we sometimes have more friends on the other side than this side, so it kind of makes you look forward to that day. But again,
oh,
we've been with David Ells, E-E-L-L-S. His website is ubm1.org. Check that out, and hopefully we can have you on again, David.
All right. Sounds good. And Lord bless you, Saint.
Lord bless
you
too.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Be patient with me.
Amen.
Amen.